Hey, welcome to Wolf's Watch. Today, we're going to be talking about the Zen of archery and how to follow up with people with respect, right? You ever had someone treat you like you're just an ATM? Isn't that just, I don't know about you. I've had that happen and it's just not the way to build any kind of relationship, not a business relationship for sure. We're going to be talking about that. Some tips for you. You do not want to miss this. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome to Wolf's Watch. Today we have a great guest with us, and I just had his bio right in front of me. I'm going to wing it. Sorry, Eli. He's waiting in the green room. We were just talking about this and going over his bio. Here's what I want to share with you about the experience that I've had with Eli up to this moment and why you want to have something to write with, to make some notes, bring your questions. This is 21st Century Television, live and interactive. Eli is someone that we had a chance to meet on my recent trip to Dallas, and I was so impressed with the conversation we got to have watching him network and talk with other people, because that's part of what he teaches. That is his personality, his profession, in terms of helping business owners follow up with people in a way that really fosters strong relationships, that doesn't make people feel like an ATM, that doesn't make you as a business owner feel like you are being inauthentic and treating people like an ATM when you don't want to, but just looking for a better way to connect, to follow up, because you get busy, right? It's hard to find the time. But here's someone who has been building businesses for 25 years, been helping other businesses build 25 years. He walks the talk, he says, here, do what I have learned to do, not what I think you should do. He's also a very, very accomplished archer. We're going to have some fun talking about that. I'm just fascinated by the mastery that comes in to learning how to not just be proficient with a longbow, but to be able to hit small targets at a long distance consistently. Great analogy for business, isn't it? Please welcome with us my new good friend, Mr. Delaney. Eli, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, my friend. How are you today?
Doing good. I get excited and I just completely trip over my tongue. You know, someday I'll grow up and get over that.
Nah, but it'll always be that way. It happens. It happens to all of us. It's all good.
It is. Thanks for joining us today and glad we have a chance to talk. Memorial Day 2023. Holy cow. How did it get to be Memorial Day in 2023? I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. As you're watching this, I don't know about you, but I'm still thinking it should be like summertime 1990 something or other.
Just much easier saying. Time back then, that's for sure.
Seems like it. I don't know that it was, but my memory's going, yeah, it must have been different. It's just, we were talking in the pre-show about how so many customers, so many people that are being followed up by businesses feel, and I love the phrase you use, they feel like they're being treated like an ATM. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just immediately went, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know, as you're watching this, that's happened to you, hasn't it? You've had, it's just like, you liked the initial contact, but in the follow-up, it was like, oh, no, we're not doing this. I'm not getting on that bus. And it's just, what are we missing as entrepreneurs? What, as an entrepreneur, what can I do better to not do, and I don't intend to, and I know at times it feels like I'm doing it on follow-up or with clients. What are some of the keys that I'm missing that will help stop that and to really not just treat, but create the experience from the client's eyes that they are being treated as more than an ATM?
Yeah. Well, right out of the gate, the first thing is, and the reason we even use this is because that's what happens is you meet somebody and it could be maybe they're a speaker on stage, or maybe you saw an ad that they're running or whatever. It doesn't matter where they came from, but you know, you meet this person, this entity that has something that might solve a problem that you have, which is great. Maybe you're going to go buy a car. You're interested, but you're not ready yet. But then immediately it goes to pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. And you know, even the conversation might start friendly. Like I actually can tell a story who it completely ruined the conversation with somebody. Somebody I saw speak on stage years ago. It was probably, I'm going to say 12, 13 years ago. And this person was an amazing speaker. I'm not going to give you any hints to who it was. They were an amazing speaker, probably one of the best I'd ever seen. And I saw them speak. They got swamped after they got off of stage. So I didn't get a chance to meet them right then. But a month later, they ended up speaking at a smaller event that I also happened to be attending. And I decided, I was like, I'm just going to go up to them and just tell them how much I appreciated their presentation from the previous month. And immediately I walk up and I was like, hey there, I just want to let you know, I was at this event with you the other, you know, last month, and your presentation was one of the best I've ever seen. I was so impressed. And I just loved everything you had to say. And the exact words out of their mouth. So did you buy the program? And I was just
first thing they said.
Uh-huh. They didn't even say, thank you. Did you buy the program? Right. Immediately, every ounce of respect that I had for that person out the door. And the reality was that it was a smaller event and the event was not going overly well. There was a lot of hardcore pitching, like the mm-hmm. speakers were all doing it, and it just wasn't a good feeling. And I had, I think it was like 8 to 10 people there that had gone to this event originally, that I knew very well. Some of them had gone because I had suggested they go with me to this thing. And a lot of them were wanting to leave at that point. And I'm like, no, wait till this next speaker comes up. You're going to love them. They're so real, so good. And then I had went back and I went to go talk to them and this happened. I literally go back and my partner at the time was like, what's wrong? She could see the ghost look on my face. And I'm like,
sure,
I'm ready to go. And she was like, okay. And literally the speaker gets up on stage. There were less than 100 people in this room at this point. So it's not a very big room. And like 10 of us all get up and walk out as they get up on stage.
Ouch.
Yeah. There was no subtlety in that. But the reality is one sentence completely destroyed every ounce of respect that I had for that person because they didn't care about me. Yeah. They didn't care about me appreciating them. They didn't care about me as a human being. And all they looked at me as was a dollar. They saw me as somebody to give them a credit card. And we see these kind of things all the time. And it really doesn't matter what industry you're in. You know, you and I are in a lot of the coaching speaking world and we see a ton of this, but it happens everywhere. It happens all over the place. The reality is our clients don't just want to know that we can solve the problem that we say we can solve. They want to know that we care about them. And a lot of people miss that one piece, that part of not just caring, but showing you care. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that if you don't care about your clients, you should probably get another business. But if you're not going to get another business, at least try to fake it. Come on. You know, just show that you actually care about human beings. And that's where so many people miss the boat. And the kicker with that, it does come up to the follow-up process because we are here to, you know, sales don't happen immediately. Some do, but as a speaker, one of the things that I always talk about people's, especially most of my clients tend to be in that speaking coaching realm, and they get out there and they might get in front of 100 people and they do their thing and they're awesome. And 10 people are ready to buy right then and there.
Yeah.
My brain immediately is like, well, what do we do about the other 90? How do we help them? How do we get them to see the value in what we're doing? And so that's why the follow-up process comes into play, because you're going to have 10% ready to buy today. There's going to be another 10% that will never buy from you. But that 80% in between, it's just going to take some time and they have to get to know, like, and trust you. We've always heard about the KLT factor, know, like, and trust. But that those three words happen for a very specific reason. They have to get to know you first before they can decide if they actually like you. And once they like you, that's when they can start trusting you.
But Eli, I don't want them to get to know me because they probably won't like me the more that they get to know me.
I have found, to be perfectly honest, doctors and lawyers are the only ones that have to really worry about that. Nobody really likes them. And most people definitely don't want to get to know them, but for some reason they can get away with the trust factor. The rest of us, actually, we do have to work for it. And If you've got a good personality and you like to just do, like it says above my head, meet cool people, have good conversations, people will get to know you. They'll like you. Then that's where that trust gets built. And that's where the next step to all of this is loyalty. Because if people trust you and they feel that you actually truly care about them, that creates loyalty. I have literally have clients who come from my first company, which was a web and graphic design agency that was almost 30 years ago that I started it. And some of those clients that were early on clients, they're within the first 2-3 years, maybe, I still have some of those clients. And I haven't built a website for somebody in over 15 years.
Holy cow.
But we have loyalty because they know I care about them. And I take care of them, not just because they pay me, because I actually care about their success. And I care about what happens to them. And that's why that long game is so, so critical.
Well, and it seems that it's relatively small things. Like, as you pointed out, we're going to start the conversation. So if coming off the stage, when you went up to the person and just to compliment them, instead of just saying, did you buy my stuff? If they had at least said, thank you, did you buy my stuff? Or thank you, how has the program helped you? Oh, you didn't purchase. Okay. Well, soften that just a little bit, just a couple of words difference.
Yeah.
Would have made the difference between totally losing respect or deepening the relationship.
Yeah. And the reality is, it is all about your language. It really is. Everything we do and everything that I do for my clients is based around language and human psychology. How do people actually want to be treated? How do they react based on the words that are said to them? And that's, I mean, it really is psychology, but it's about how do we treat them in a way that they want to be treated, that they appreciate it. Because they can appreciate you. Look, I love my clients. I have clients who just, they'll get on our coaching calls and they're just like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And I can't believe how much you've changed my life. And for me, reality is I just changed a few words on an email. Mm-hmm. But I know the factor with that. And they know that the action is not the important part. The part is that they know that I care about them and I'm making the action because I want to see them succeed.
Even with an email? So even if I'm crafting an email, for example, I did this recently. Mm-hmm. I was sending an email off to someone's executive assistant, and it happens to be someone that I know. So I was taking a liberty to be a little bit more brief. And I know that the culture within that team is pretty much like, hey, get to the point.
Yep.
And at the end, I put some personal stuff, just in terms of like, hey, hope everything's going well. Having a nice holiday, that just the social niceties.
Yeah.
And I stopped and looked at that and went, maybe that should go at the top of the email, even if it's just one or two quick tabs. Does that really make a difference?
Huge, huge.
In email.
In email. Email is my personal favorite mode of communication because I have so much more control over it. And I am a writer, so I enjoy that.
Okay.
Texting. I know people who, texting for me is like, hey, I'm running 5 minutes late for dinner. I'll be there shortly. The little short snippets, there's things like that. Email for me is a true communication tool. It is my personal favorite. I love working with email and I get some amazing results out of it. And the kicker with it is like what you said with your, with that email you sent out, if you start it with a personal note, personal is like, hey, I want to check in and see how you're doing. What's going on? They see right out of the gate, you actually care about them. You're curious about their lives and people love to talk about themselves and they love to know that people care about what's going on in their lives. So you're setting the tone when you do it that way. You put it at the bottom. Half the time they're in automation mode and they're just thinking through. It's like, okay, here's some questions, here's some answers. And they didn't even read the end. But if you start it off, those walls come down, it becomes a casual conversation, and the business stuff is almost like an afterthought. It's still there, and they're going to answer those questions, but you start it from a place of human to human, not corporate-y. And that is huge, huge, huge difference.
Okay. So it still keeps the relationships and the importance of the relationship right up front, because that's where it always starts when they hear from me. If I do that consistently in my emails,
everything is about the relationship first.
Yeah.
That is so, so critical. And that's one of the things we've lost in a lot of today's culture. And that's, and because we are human beings, like to have relationships. They like to get to know each other. They like to have conversations. And even like, you know, a lot of people, they use the excuse that they're introverts, which is a bunch of BS in my opinion. Cause I am actually a hardcore introvert, but that just means that, oh yeah, I'm a hardcore introvert. When I, like when you met me, the first thing I did when I left, I got home because I live in the Dallas area. So I drove home. I put some food in my gut and I passed out, and I was out hard, because being an introvert, that just means that conversations, especially bigger conversations, drains your energy. That does not mean that you're antisocial. It does not mean you don't like people. Okay. There are times when I don't like people, but usually they do specific things that cause me to have that way. As a general rule, human beings are like, I'm always curious about them. And I think that goes back to the study of psychology and how, you know, how people tick. But if you come at a place of actually caring about them, first and foremost, people love to talk about what's going on. If they have something cool, like you brought up my archery stuff. Okay. When people ask me about the archery stuff, the next thing you know, they have to shut me up about it, because it's something that I love to do and I love to talk about it. And when you, I mean, even my business, what I do when I help people from the coaching standpoint of helping them with their follow-up systems, somebody will come to me and it's like, well, I was trying this thing. I was like, oh, well, have you tried this? And I'll start giving them ideas and giving them little pointers and things like that. Next thing I know, it's like a half an hour later. I mean, I literally had an event that I went to. I met somebody there. She and I started talking. And next thing we know, we're like in the back of the, like a kitchen area of this new building. They were doing a ribbon cutting kind of thing. We're just back there talking. People are coming and going and everything. We were just back there talking. Next thing you know, we had been talking for like an hour, because we lost everybody else. We're just having a good conversation. And we're talking geeky stuff because I'm a tech guy, right? And talking about Renfairs, which I like doing. And she does some modeling stuff. And so she was talking about some of that stuff. We're just having a cool conversation. People love to do that. And if you give them the opportunity to talk about their thing, whatever their thing is, not enough people let them. And so they're going to go to town on it. So then when it comes to the business stuff, they already have the warm and fuzzy feeling, which is really what we want, because we want people to like us and to trust us and to feel comfortable with us. And to do that, there are things we have to do to make that happen. And so in a one-on-one conversation, it's a lot easier to do, but you can do this over email. You can do this over Facebook Messenger, or even just commenting on other people's posts. Just have a conversation. Don't think about it as I'm writing something clinical. You know, you're not writing a report. You're just like, hey, you know what? You know, here's a question you were asking. Here's my experience with it. Just want to, you know, here's my two cents worth. And instantly, it doesn't matter what the answer is. Coming at it from the different tone sets the stage for a better conversation. And conversations, reality is, if we're all in business, conversations lead to sales. But you got to have a true conversation first.
Excellent point. It's a lot of power now. You got to have a true conversation to lead, to get to that point where they're going, hey, can you help me with this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is a sale, but isn't a sale in a sense. Is a sale, but doesn't feel like a sale necessarily from their experience.
Yep.
I like that. I like it. I so want to ask you about archery before we get there. And as you're watching this, just stick around. You do not want to miss Eli's discussion of archery. It fits in with business and it is amazing. I'm always fascinated when people achieve a level of mastery that just makes me go, no, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be possible. And we'll come back, but wanted to talk about something that we had both experienced and mentioned during our pre-show conversation, which is when going to live events, we meet people and they want to follow up and you never hear from them. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about that, I was sitting there, I was like going, oh no, I'm one of those folks. And I've got like boxes and boxes of business cards. Mm-hmm. I'm still working my way through my list. I'm so far behind where I wanted to be on the list of people. And it's not really even a huge list. I mean, it was nice. I met a lot of people while I was in Dallas. It was great. Went to a few events there, which made that possible. Yet I'm looking at that and going, oh, you know, I'm not keeping pace with what I want to have. And it worries me. They're going, you know what? That clock's ticking. And if it takes too long to circle back around, it's like dating. You know, I always remember that as a young guy, I was living by the beach. I was going to work full time, going to graduate school full time, and met a gal that we went out on a first date, wanted to go on a second date. And it was just like, life was busy. And I called her up and she's like going, yeah, I thought you were going to like call the next day or 2 days later, not, you know, 4 months. Have a nice life. Click.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just that was me when I was younger. I'm getting better. Honest. I'm better at that. But I've always have that lesson in the back of my mind. I'm going, you know, with these folks that I met recently, that clock's ticking. And if it takes too long to follow up, unless they have a real intense interest in something that we discussed, they're just, you know, I wouldn't blame them if they just went, oh yeah, man, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the reality the reality is everybody's busy, especially in today's world. We're all busy. So it is our job to follow up with other people. Doesn't matter what the situation is. If we want to connect with that person, no matter whether we're looking at buying their stuff, they're looking at buying our stuff, we just want to get to know them. If it's somebody you want to date, it's all the same. It's all just a different place setting. But it's our job. It's our responsibility to follow up with other people. And so there's a couple of things with this. Number one, especially on the business side, and to be perfectly honest, you can use this on a personal side as well, you need to have a good CRM system. CRM stands for Customer Relationship Manager. It's basically a database of people. So you're not trying to use like a spreadsheet. Meet people, put them in a system. And here's the kicker with a CRM versus a lot of like the email list systems that are out there. And I'm a total geeky guy. So we're going to go in a little bit of the brambles here, but an email system, there's a lot of them that are out there, and it's like, you're looking for their email address so you can email them. Okay. That is like level one. A CRM is where you're not tracking an email address. You're tracking a human being, a real person. You know their name, not they're just their email. You might have their phone number. You know where they met. You met them at. You know what kind of conversations you had. You literally track everything related to that person, how it happens. Because reality is, you and I, we're humans. We are going to drop the ball. We are going to forget. That is human nature. So we have amazing technology out there that will help track all this stuff for us. So a good CRM system, which I've been a CRM guy forever. This is what we help clients with, is I can literally go through and know where I met you, what we talked about, how many times we had conversations. I can pull up all of that stuff. I mean, it is like stalking in a legit non-creepy way. Okay. Some people think it's kind of creepy, but the reality is I'm going to forget. Right. You're going to forget. We are human. We will forget. So use that to track that kind of stuff. And here's something you can do. This is something that you need to, anybody watching this, you need to write this down, is you have that list. Like you just talked about people you haven't followed up with. You got a stack of business cards. Here's what you do with that. First and foremost, you put them into your CRM system. So now you put in whatever you can, whatever information you do have. Now, from today moving forward, you have a way to track them. Okay. Now, you can send them an email, and I'm going to give you the script of exactly what to say.
Hey, I'm making notes. As you're watching this, you better be writing this down. This is a writer downer.
So this is it. Okay. The subject line is, I'm such a slacker. You're going to have fun with this, and you're going to throw yourself under the bus.
Truthful and playful.
Yeah. I like that. So you're going to have fun with this and you're going to take a responsibility. You're going to throw yourself under the bus for this one. You're going to go in there. It's like, hey there, I've met you. If you could, if you have it tracked, you know where you met them. You can say, you know, we met at the Rock Your Life event in Dallas, Texas, and I am totally a slacker. I got swamped and I didn't follow up like I should have. I want to first off start by apologizing for that. Mm. If you have something legit, you can always say, you know, hey, something big happened and whatever. And if you don't, that's okay. Just leave that out.
Just for some reason, it reminds me of the John Belushi scene in the Blues Brothers movie when Carrie Fisher is mm-hmm. going to hurt him for having abandoned her at the altar. And he's like, it wasn't my fault. There was a hurricane. There was a meteor strike. There was a, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like, as soon as she goes, oh, yep. Okay. He's like, fine, great. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah. Oh God. I need to go watch that movie again. It's been way too long. one of my favorite movies, but I probably haven't watched it in at least 5-6 years. I need to go back to it.
But it's just the point of, look, we all understand that things happen in life. So yeah. If I have some legit emergency, something popped mm-hmm. up, some massive event,
you're right.
Then to be honest about it, I go, you know what? I really apologize for this. Here's what happened. This is what I'd like to do next. Yeah. Or if I just flaked to go, you know what? I own that. I really apologize.
And that's good too. Don't ever lie. Don't ever lie about it. Okay. That's really, really important, because if you lie to somebody, they're going to figure it out. It's going to happen. But if you can just say, hey, I'm really sorry. Things, just a bunch of stuff happened all at once. And I've been a slacker. I haven't followed up like I meant to. I am so sorry about that. But I promise here, so now we're getting back to the script.
Okay.
I promise to do better moving forward. And that's starting with today. I would love to hear, what have you been up to? What's new and exciting?
Ooh. Immediately puts the focus right back on
them.
What you were talking about earlier, on them, the interest in them and what's happening in their life.
Just to share something. It's like, I would love to catch up with you. How does next Thursday look? Better yet, here's a link to my calendar if you want to just grab a spot. Now, in today's world, if you don't have a digital calendar that takes care of all that stuff for you, you need to get one because that's just so much of a waste of time to not have one. But
that has been such a huge change for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So what you're going to do is then you're basically saying is, how does next week? A sneeze almost popped up on me. Okay. We're good. We're all good. Yeah.
Warning over.
It's okay. Brain cell trying to get away. We're safe though. So you're just basically going to say, you know, okay, hey, how does next Thursday sound? Or pick a day, whatever day works best for you. And it's like, better yet, here's a link to my calendar. If you want to just go grab a spot, I would love to jump on a Zoom and just catch up. I hope you've been well, and then sign your name. Okay.
Love that.
Now, for those of you that are watching this, listening to this, you're going to want to go back and you're going to want to listen to it a couple times to get the script with, especially since we talked about Blues Brothers for a minute and all that kind of fun stuff, which I do not blame you.
I apologize for interrupting.
Oh. There's no need to apologize.
I just have to release it.
There is zero reason to apologize for bringing up Blues Brothers. Okay. You're with me. You're good with that.
I knew when we met, there was something about
you.
Yeah. And there it is.
Blues Brothers fan. I got my fedora downstairs. So this is, and I want you to stop and think about what I just shared. Do you notice something missing out of what I just shared?
There's no, hey, here's what I'm selling. This is what I'm doing.
Bingo.
This is,
there's,
you know,
no pitch.
I have to get that in there. I have to get it in there somewhere.
Yeah. No pitch. All you're doing is starting a conversation.
Yeah.
So, but here's the fun thing about this. First and foremost, now you have apologized for dropping the ball. You've re-engaged somebody who may have decided you're a flake to begin with, but now you came to him, you apologized, you said, hey, I really do want to talk to you. Let's chat. And then you come from a place of wanting to know what's up with them. So you make it about them. You start the conversation about them, showing that you actually care about them. And then you're leading them to an actual true conversation. Again, conversations do lead to sales. Now, here's something that is so much fun. I had a client who did this early on, and this is why I love this process so much. She sent this email, and we actually even had two other emails that were a follow-up. And she sends the first email out, and she emails me the next day, because I'm your automation guy. I put the whole campaign in. I'm not going to just do one-offs because that's boring and time-wasting. So I create the whole thing, right? She sends it on a Monday, and on Tuesday morning, I get an email that says, how do we stop the campaign? We need to stop it. I'm like, oh crap, what happened? Oh, yeah, so I'm like immediately picking up the phone. I'm like, what's wrong? What happened? She goes, everybody replied.
Oh.
I'm like, what do you mean everybody replied? She goes, everybody replied. Lo and behold, her calendar was booked solid for the next month. She made $12,000 in sales by the end of the week from that one email, not selling anything.
Nice.
That's only one. By the way, I have lots of those stories of that exact same process. Okay. Literally, the people who have not had success with this are the people who've screwed it up somehow. If you follow it the way I told you to, it's amazing what can happen. And by the way, if you do this, I would love for you to connect with me and tell me what your results were. That means the world to me, because I love to hear what happens when you do that, because I have so many amazing stories and I love adding to that
club. Okay. So I want to talk to, as you're watching this, if you take Eli's challenge, I'll take Eli's challenge and we'll both tell him how it turned out. Okay.
There we go.
All right. I'm sensing a virtual nod over there on the other side of the camera. So, okay. We're in.
Awesome. Yes. And by the way, I'm easy to find. You can connect with me anywhere, but just please do it. And then let me know what happens, because you'll be surprised the results you'll get. But that's just one, you know,
is
that's
this, is this list. Where we report in to let you know how it went?
If you go to connectwitheli.com is kind of a hub. It's got all, you know, you can connect with me on the social media sites. You can send me a text. You can book a call with me. Everything is right there. Okay. I am very, very easy to get a hold of. I love having cool conversations with cool people. Like it says above my head, I love to meet cool people. So I make it as easy as possible for people to connect with me.
Eli, for a lot of reasons, I'm a very private person. And what I'm hearing you say is I have to make it easy for people to find me on the internet.
Definitely.
But what'll happen then?
You might actually make some good friends and you might make some money. Imagine that. I mean, I don't see a bad thing for either one of those. You know, I mean, that's really what it boils down to is I've got some amazing friends, amazing people that I have met across this globe. Mm-hmm. And it's all because I am a public person. I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't talk about a lot of my personal private stuff going on, but I'm public. I'm easy to find. I like to share stuff. I like to have conversations. I mean, literally just this last Wednesday, there was an event. Somebody messaged me and says, hey, we're going to be in town recording a TV show. Do you want to come be a guest in the audience? And I'm like, oh, sure. I mean, nice. They did not ask me to get up on stage and speak. They asked me to just attend as a guest. I'm like, yeah, of course. I go, have a good time. A bunch of us ended up going out to dinner and just having the most amazing conversations. And I got to know some amazing people that some of these people are now going to be very good friends of mine. A couple of them live here. A couple of them are not. Being that I'm fairly new to the Dallas area, I'm always looking for friends so I can go do something with, you know. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't just gone and just said, okay, let's be accessible, be public, let people talk to me. And that's what today's society really needs, because we're all in our little bubbles, and our bubbles are behind our phones, and we're you know, posting stuff, but not really there. And we need to be there. People need to know that we're real people, especially we're in the world of the rise of AI. How many times have you heard all the stuff about AI going on? And now there's a new factor of disconnect. People are like, so did Eli actually write that, or did AI write that? I'm going to tell you, for me personally, damn straight, I wrote that. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. If I used AI, I may have used them to help me with it. But it came from me. It's my words, my thoughts, my personality behind it. And that's what people want. People want to know that they're talking to somebody authentically. And, you know, the word authenticity gets thrown out a lot. But the reality is, if you're trying to be authentic, you're probably not doing it right.
Oh. Dang it. And here I thought it was, it's still an improvement, but it sounds like I got a ways to go.
Yeah. If you're trying, you shouldn't have to try. You shouldn't have to try.
Just be you.
Just be. Have fun with it. And then, of course, you know, one of the things that I'm very, very, very passionate about is you have to play the long game. Follow-up is not a one-time thing. It's not two or three times. You know, we want to go into the business side and the sales side of things. Most sales, we've all heard different variations of this. Nobody knows where it really came from, but most sales come between 6 and 12 touches with a prospect, right? And it depends on who says it. It depends on which article you read or which meme you read. Nobody knows where those numbers came from, but the reality is that it takes more than once, okay? We know that it takes several times. That several times is because people have to get to know, like, and trust you. Some people will, that'll be instant. They'll be like, whatever you said just fits. Here's my credit card. Let's do this. Some people have to stop and think about it. Some people legitimately don't have the money today, but that doesn't mean they're not going to have it tomorrow, next month, next year, next decade. I literally had a guy, it was September 16th, 2020. He emails me, replies back to one of my emails. And he says, hey, Eli, I've been on your list for a couple of years now. I cannot tell you how many things you've done to help me with my business. Thank you so much. My son's starting a construction company. I'm wondering if you can help us with some marketing stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. So nice. I starts a conversation. Conversations lead to sales, right? And it's all good. But then I look in my CRM because I track this stuff and find out he saw me speak at a SCORE event that I was teaching at in Phoenix, Arizona, July 3rd, 2010.
2010. So I thought you were going to say 2020.
No.
2010. Holy
years
cow.
And 3 months later, he's coming back to me to refer his son's business.
Mm.
When I say play the long game, play the long game.
Well, I mean, isn't,
always stay in touch.
Numbers aside, isn't it the reality that most of the people that we have an opportunity to meet, or even, you know, even if we're speaking from stage to a large group, mm-hmm. that it's always going to be the literal handful out of the group that are really ready to do something right now.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, a handful never going to do anything with you no matter what. Yeah. And most of the rest of them, it's like, hey, you know what? It's your game to lose, your business to lose with them.
Right.
If by not staying in touch, by not nurturing the relationship over time. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's the thing is you have to nurture the relationship over time. And that's not just posting on social media and hoping that they're following you. That's a piece of it. But, you mm-hmm. know, if you're building your list, you've got your email list, your CRM, your email is one thing. You know, being able to use texting as well, setting up a long-term engagement. You know, my big thing is my running joke is I could go outside and get hit by a bus today and still sell you stuff for 3 more years. Because my campaigns just work. My machine runs automatically. The cool thing is that works no matter what I do. So I can focus my time on the one-on-one conversation. So when somebody replies back, that's like, okay, now we're having a real conversation. The machine does the front end, but I am here doing everything else, having real conversations with real people, getting on Zooms and having, you know, having this face to face or meeting people at events and things like that, that the number of people who are ready to buy today is minimal. You know, it's like as a speaker, it's kind of funny. I do this and I'll share this because I work with primarily speakers, coaches, and consultants. That's my primary niche. And it's hilarious because I'll say this from stage. I'm like, you know, when I first started here, I might have 100 people in the room. I get 10 people raise their hands, ready to go, credit card ready, wanting to buy whatever it was I was selling at the time, which is not a bad number. And the funny thing is that most people in the audience, they're like, that's a really good number. We're ready. That would be awesome. And I'm like, here's the deal. So I immediately look at what about the other 90? How do we have better conversations with them? And what ended up happening when I started building the follow-up process is that I wasn't just getting 10%. I was getting an additional 10 to 20% because of the follow-up process, because some people just weren't ready. Some people are analytical and they have to stop and think about every little detail 500 times before they'll make a decision. That's just their personality. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a fact.
So you basically tripled
your
response rate?
Yes.
Your conversion rate?
Yes.
By doing the long game, by proper follow-up.
Yep. Yep. Wow. I have somebody who literally just enrolled to work with me Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friday as of this recording, that I have known this person for probably a year and a half. We've had a couple of conversations, but what happened was literally this last week, I posted something online. So they're getting my emails and they're connected to me on social media. I happened to post something that lit a fire, right words, right time with the right offer. You know, that's the thing is, you know, when it comes to business and sales, you have to have the right message to the right market with the right offer. Okay. Those three things have to line up. The same person wasn't ready over, I don't remember how long it year and a half ago, whatever it was, you know, they weren't ready 18 months ago. They weren't in the right place then. And what I had to offer wasn't the right offer for them at that point. What I offered last week was something different. It was associated. It was related, but it was the thing that was the right trigger. And it happened to be the right time for this person who I've known for about a year and a half. And they're like, I want to talk to you. I want to hear more about this thing. We jump on a Zoom and they're just like, I'm sold. Let's do it. Wow. You know? So from a business standpoint, that's how it works. You never know when somebody's going to be ready. Your goal is to just be there when they are ready. Because here's the thing. If you ever ran into this, stop and think about how long you've been in business for a while and stop and think about this. Have you ever been in a situation where you talk to somebody, you might've had a great conversation with them, but they just weren't ready to buy whatever, for whatever reason, doesn't matter. And then, you know, 3-6 months down the road, you find out that they bought from somebody else. So the reality is, going back to what I was saying just a minute ago, it takes anywhere between 6 and 12 touches for somebody to make a buying decision. But most people in sales, which is all of us, reality is all of us, even my dog was in sales when he was alive.
Even working in corporate America. Or involved in sales. You have to sell ideas. You have to influence other people to take action.
But the reality is that when we're having a sales conversation with people, it takes 6 to 12 touches for somebody to make that decision. But most people give up by number 3. Wow. So reality is we're giving up just as they're getting warmed up. That's why they bought from that other person. Because you softened them up. You started the conversation. You gave them all the information. So now they're educated on it and they're starting to lean that way. And somebody else comes along and they're shiny and new. You're gone because you gave up on them. So they buy into that person. Because if that person's right there, is like, hey, this is what it is. And here's the special deal today. Well, the walls had already been broken down. They're not going to go, oh, no. I'm going to go back to him and talk to him. They're going to be like, okay, this looks like a good deal. Because now they've had time to think in it. You know, they've already pondered it. They figured it out. Their brain has processed all the data that they need. This person has now gotten in front of them at the right time with that right message.
Yeah.
And they're the new shiny. And so it's like, oh, okay, we're going to go over here instead. So you've got to stay in touch with people literally forever. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to work your butt off and pick up, you know, 500 phone calls a day or anything like that. Again, we have these amazing tools and technology out there that help us with posting in social media and the CRM system that you can do campaigns. Like I said, my campaign runs for 3 years. You can have that stuff all set up that takes a lot of that workload off with the idea that you as a human being, one, would never keep up with it. And two, you would drop the ball because we're just humans and we make mistakes. So let the tools and technology do that part. But all of this is wrapped up with personal touch feelings. You have to make it look and feel like you are taking the time to talk to them and take time out of your busy day to have a conversation because you're starting a conversation. And when they reply back, you need to be there to have that conversation.
Which comes back to what you mentioned earlier, which is just be.
Just be.
We got to be centered. We got to be grounded in order to be able to communicate. You know, the word authenticity does get overused, but for lack of a better word, to really be genuine in my communication, I need to come from that place.
Yep.
I am so screwed.
Here's the wonderful thing about it, though. You know, you've heard this. I'm sure everybody has heard the whole thing of when's the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago. When's the second best time now? So
now,
this is the same thing. If you haven't been doing this stuff, number one, go send that email. Number two, get a CRM so you can start following and tracking your conversations.
Yeah.
And start with those two steps, because those are literally the first two steps. It doesn't matter if you did this 20 years ago or tomorrow. You start now and then you just build on it. And the cool thing about it is the whole point of the software is to make it so you don't have to worry about it getting lost in the gray fluffy matter between your ears, because it will.
I love to have fun with it and poke fun at myself on it, because I'm very aware of how awful I was at this stuff when I was younger, and I can see the arc, and I've gotten a lot better. Of course, there's plenty of room for improvement as well. Yeah. But it really truly is a joyful day in life now to be able to meet someone, really have a cool conversation. And just in the last 6 months, I've had so many amazing conversations with people. Mm-hmm. You know, now that the live events are back more, traveling more, so we get an opportunity to make more new friendships, meet people that I've known for 3 years now online, and get to hang out together and break bread. But to just that part of it, having those kind of conversations, which have then led to opportunities that I couldn't have imagined when I was younger.
Yep.
And it's because of those kinds of conversations. It's because I was relaxed and someone was talking and I was going, wow, that's interesting. And started asking questions and led to getting to know each other. And then all of a sudden getting a phone call, hey, can you help us with this? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just, it does work.
Yeah.
I just need to do more of it. And it's also great to be able to, you know, to laugh along the way.
Yeah. Well, and the kicker with it is you got to have fun.
Yeah.
You got to have fun.
Because why
not? Yeah. Well, and people, if you're having fun, people will want to be around you more. Okay. If you're a fun person, people will want to be around you more, because it's just they want to partake in your funness. Okay. Yes. And so if you can have fun with it, and I tend to be somewhat of a stoic. So I'll have snarky little bits that'll show up, but a lot of times I'm pretty reserved and kind of just mellow. But when people get to know me, I can really go off the cuff on things. And, you know, I come from originally a music background. So I always talk about going stage right really quick. And it's okay to do those kind of things, because then people see you as human. Again, it's like, that shows that you're being authentic without you having to think about being authentic. If you think about it, you're doing it wrong. You are just here to have a cool conversation. It's like,
well, you know, even when we met, and this may be defective memory on my part, check me if I'm wrong on this, but when we met and we're talking at the event we were chatting at in Dallas, it was kind of quiet conversation. I mean, it wasn't the big energy. Oh, you know, there were some people that were doing that in the room. Mm-hmm. I remember it as we're kind of having a quiet, you know, sort of quiet lean in conversation so we can hear each other. We're kind of snarking back a little bit and chuckling a little bit. Even that had people kind of coming over and going, hey, what are you guys talking about? And introducing themselves. So you ended up attracting a little cluster of people in that part of the room, because like going, these guys are leaning in and talking quiet. I thought I saw them laugh a couple of times. What? I don't want to miss out on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to be part of that.
And it creates intensity, even though it's not a loud intense. You don't have to be loud and obnoxious. I mean, I've literally, when I first.
But I'm good at loud and obnoxious.
And if that's you, that's perfectly fine. That's all good. But reality is, like, years ago, I remember one of the biggest networking events in Phoenix that I used to go to. And it was called Networking Phoenix, actually, by a friend of mine, Gelly, that she put it on. And at one point she got, I mean, that I was there. I know she grew it even further after that, but she was like 600-800 people were showing up for these events. Mm-hmm. There were times where I would go to those events and I never got even in the door in four or 5 hours, because I would just stand there And somebody would come up and start talking to me. That would be maybe they saw me online, or somebody else said, "Hey, you need to meet Eli." They'd come over, and it was just conversation after conversation after conversation. And all I did was just sit there, have a cool conversation, shake some hands, get to know them a little bit, get their cards so we could follow up later, that kind of stuff. And then just people would just come, and we'd have some amazing conversations. You know, for me, when I go to events, especially if I'm speaking at events, I'm known for putting on dinners, and we would get a bunch of people get together and go have dinner. It's like, okay, we're going to go. And when somebody, you know, after I speak, somebody's like, "Oh man, this was so awesome. Thank you so much." I'm like, "I really appreciate that. You know what? A bunch of us are getting together for dinner. I would love for you to come join us." And we would sit down and we'd have a good conversation. And usually I'm just sitting there. I'm just kind of taking it all in. I'm listening to what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I can grab the little nuggets that stand out and that I want to remember. And then we can have a deeper conversation later. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, and this will go back to the techie part of this. I take that information. I stick it in my CRM because I know I'll forget at some point.
Yeah.
You know, yep, you just have that stuff. You just, yep. And that's, but having those kind of conversations, you don't have to be loud and obnoxious. You don't have to be the extrovert. You don't have to be the party animal. You just be a kind person. I've actually had people, I was at an event February, I think, and that was here also in the Dallas area. And I literally had two people after the event say that, like, they book calls to talk to me. And I was like, "So what are we talking about today?" Because it didn't, you know, we hadn't really had deep conversations. So we didn't have necessarily an agenda. And I'm like, "So what are we talking about today?" Like, "I don't know yet. I want to know more about what you do, but I had a really big feeling that I just needed to get to know you because I feel comfortable around you."
Wow. Nice. Like,
that's a cool place to be.
Yes.
It really is. Yeah.
That's a good life to live.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To be able to come from that space. And it opens a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have another question about, you know, the being at events.
Okay.
And, you know, is it really a numbers game? And I don't mean go in and it's like, here, you know, throwing business cards. But is it, you know, because that's clearly, especially in today's world, just does not work.
Right. No business card drive-bys.
No
business card drive-bys.
No business card drive-bys. So excluding that, is it still kind of a numbers game? You know, go in a room, there's 50 people there, and man, I need to get to know at least 10. Or is it more about building a couple, two, three solid starters to a relationship?
It really kind of depends on what the purpose of the event is. And so... Number one, when I walk into a room, the first thing I'm looking for is people who might have the boring, ugly technical version would be like potential joint ventures, people who they serve the same audience that I do, that maybe we could cross promote each other and help each other out. So I'm not looking for a client. I'm looking for the person that works with my clients. So if I'm at a networking type of function, that's what I'm looking for. And I hate using the word like joint venture because it's just tacky. Those words have been abused so much that it's gotten to be a kind of a swarmy type of idea.
So but, someone will be a good collaboration partner, right?
Yes.
We get similar values.
That's a better word.
It's like going, you know what? We can help each other.
Right.
And we both have a heart for doing business that way.
Right.
Living, and, not just doing business that way, but as you're talking about just being us for living that way, where it's just like, how can I help? Hey, you know what? We got some overlap here. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And for me, if I walk into a room, I'm looking for two or three of those people. Mm-hmm. That's really what I'm looking for. Now, does that mean that I have to talk to six people to find those two or three people? You never know. The audience is always different. You never know what you're going to walk into, even though you might have a clue. But sometimes I've walked into something that's like, this group is going to be a perfect fit. You walk in, it's like, no, they're not. Absolutely none of them. And I've had some time where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go because a friend invited me and it just sounds like it'd be kind of a fun thing to do, but I'm not expecting anything to come from it. And I've literally walked away with like 3 to 5 clients. So you never know. You need to go in with a plan with the purpose of, okay, what am I looking for? And it shouldn't be direct clients. It should be some kind of partnership or relationship with somebody that you can help feed them. They can help feed you. And we're not talking about just the clients and the food, but also just supporting each other, really. Start mm-hmm. with that. And if you happen to have clients, that's awesome too. But I look for two or three people in a room. And does that mean that I have to talk to 50? Sometimes. You never know. You gotta feel that out.
But who
are you talking to?
Does approaching it from that perspective, this is something that I've experienced and I continue to work on being better at keeping it dialed mm-hmm. in, is when I walk into an event and I'm feeling relaxed, kind of having fun, you know, looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, this is going to be fun. Who am I going to meet today? What am I going to learn? And walking, it's like, hey, how you doing? And as opposed to when I walk in the door and going, okay, who do I want to talk to here? You know, yeah. Start scoping the room. It's like going, okay, I'm on the hunt. Now, who is it? Ah, that one over there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, start moving at them across the room. And it's almost like Jaws, you know, the music's playing and it's almost like they can see me coming. And all of a sudden the whole crowd that I wanted to step into disperses. And it's like, did they know somehow?
Yeah. And that your attitude behind it is huge. And there's a difference because you can walk in with the goal in mind, and you should have mm-hmm. a very strategic plan for anything, because if you don't have a plan, you don't know what you're going to do. So you should have a plan, but that does not mean that you're there for the hunt. Okay. You're not, it's like, I'm not walking in the door looking for a kill. That's not what we're not about that in any way, shape or form. Cause if you do, people will feel it. You know, the deer will smell you, you know, I mean, it's just the fact. And when people do that, they got a vibe about them. And that vibe turns mm-hmm. people away very, very quickly. So the goal is to walk in and just like, for me, it's like, my goal is to get two or three great conversations with potential, you know, support partners, power partners, JVs, whatever word you want to use for it, doesn't really matter. But I'm mostly there to have a good time mm-hmm. and meet cool people. See, the meet cool people thing is like literally, that is my part of my personality, part of my DNA. And I've made it so much that I have the hashtag with it. I even have these cool little wristbands that I had like 200 of them made up just before COVID and everything got shut down. You know, it's all about just meeting cool people. And that's the primary purpose with these strategic plan underneath, just to make sure that I'm doing things that are going to be business oriented. Because I can talk all day long. We've already seen that, right? You know, I can talk all the time. So I have to have a plan. I have to have a goal with it.
Yeah.
But the big picture is, how am I just going to come in, meet cool people, have a good time, and the rest will work itself out. And when you do that, it's great, because then you're not hunting. You're not chasing people down. You're not looking like a threat. You're just having a cool conversation, and people will be attracted to you. And that's what you want. Mm-hmm. When you can come that to that point and literally have people coming to you because you have the pleasing personality and you look like somebody that they might trust before they've ever even talked to you. That's the goal from that aspect. How's that?
I love it. It's powerful. That's powerful. You know, and I've been enjoying this conversation. I'm watching the time. We didn't even get to the archery yet. We have to do this again. So I still want to talk about, I mean, because it's just so fascinating.
Yeah.
With, you know, your experience with archery, how that ties into mindset as well mm-hmm. for being, you know, for having a great life, being successful in business. So let's do that again.
Okay.
I do want to ask, you know, now that live events are back, I know you do a lot online as well. Mm-hmm. Are you teaching? Are you speaking? What are you working on next?
So I am speaking various places off and on. Just kind of depends what's going on. Always love speaking. So if somebody wants to say, like, hey, I'd love to have you come speak, I'm always interested in checking it out because I have fun with it. I just do. Beyond that, I am, you know, we actually launched our CRM this last month, which I'm pretty excited about because as a speaker, as a coach, I found that I was Jimmy rigging all kinds of stuff to make it work. And we finally said, hell with it. We're going to put our own together. And so that's what we did with it. Customized it based around my experience and all the systems and processes that I've built to create what I call the Follow Up Rockstar system. So that's where we launched with that. I'm having a lot of fun with that. And within that, I'm, you know, the great thing, back in October, I moved here to the Dallas area. So I am, if there's events here, I'm doing a bunch of them whenever I can, because it gives me a good opportunity to meet cool people. I am doing some traveling, not as much yet, because I'm still kind of getting settled in here. But beyond that, I love speaking. I love doing interviews and doing things like this. Podcasts are so much fun. Because we get to have a cool conversation, and sometimes yes. It leads to just all kinds of craziness, which is just have a good conversation. That's what we really need to do. Reality is, I have my two core primary values are kindness and respect. Show kindness and respect. Show people that you can be nice to them. You don't have to agree with them. And just because you disagree with them does not mean you can't respect them. Show respect, show kindness, have a good conversation, because there can be common ground that we can meet on, even if we disagree with all kinds of other things. We can talk about the archery stuff. There's all kinds of disagreements inside the archery community, and it's the silliest stuff in the world. I'm like, just get out there, fling some arrows, have a good time. It doesn't matter if you're doing it by yourself, doing it with friends. It doesn't matter what kind of bow you got. Just have a good time. That's what it's all about. And we should do that in everything. Really, we should do that in everything. Just chill out. Don't get offended by stuff. Show kindness, show respect, and get out there and just meet some cool people, because you'll find out that the world is a lot smaller than you might think it is. And if you're too busy doing all this other stuff, you're missing out on some of the most amazing conversations you possibly can. And like I said earlier, I've said it a couple of times now, conversations do lead to sales too. So just have a good conversation. You might make your next best friend, or you might make your next client. Either way, that's a win.
Isn't it though? Absolutely. There is no way to lose in that equation.
Exactly.
I love that. Eli, thanks so much for being with us today. As you're watching this, reach out, connect with Eli.com to learn more. Share your stories about the cool people we're meeting with hashtag meet cool people as well.
Yes. And I appreciate this. Thank you so much. And by the way, for anybody on the listening side of this, Eli is with a Y. I always have Eli to bring that Y, up. Yes. Yes. Because some people actually think it's ELI, and that's going to show up. So like a commercial real estate dude in Iowa or something like that. I don't remember now. But it's connect with Eli with a Y, ELY.com, and truly connect with me, reach out to me. Let me know that you heard me on this show. And if you use the magic script that I gave you earlier, that's what I call it, is the magic script, because it just does magic. If you used it, I would love to hear your results on that. That means the world to me. I want to know what's going on, and I want to know how can I help you, because that's so much fun. It's just a fun thing to do.
That it is. And this has been a fun conversation. I look forward to continuing it. Awesome. And as you're anytime. Watching this, Thank you for being part of the conversation. This has been Wolf's Watch. I'm Wolf. Today we're featuring Eli Delaney, and we will see you on the trail.
Thank you, my friend.